raised by wolves with canine DNA in his blood, having trained more than 24,000 vets, helping you and your fur babies thrive. Live in studio, it's Pet Talk Today with Will Bangura, answering your pet behavior and training questions. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host and favorite pet behavior expert, Will Bangura.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. I'm Will Bangura.
And I'm Jordan Marsteller.
And you're listening and watching live Pet Talk Today. We took a little bit of a hiatus there.
Yeah, just a couple weeks.
We normally don't take time off, but man, I'm glad we did. I feel all kinds of refreshed. We're excited to be here today. We're going to pretty much do questions and answers for the entire hour. Hey, if you're brand new to Pet Talk Today, let me talk a little bit about what we do. Typically, we're here each and every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific time. What is that? I think that's 12 1 Eastern time,
right?
And that would be, what, 11 to 12 Central?
Absolutely.
Mountain Time, it's 9 to 10. That's same as Pacific Time. We're here on Facebook Live on the Pet Talk Today page. Please tell your friends about it, because not everybody can afford professional in-home training, which is what we do at my company, Phoenix Dog Training. We specialize in some of the most difficult behavior problems, a lot of aggression, fears, anxieties, phobias. We do this show so that you can put your questions, your pet behavior questions, in the comments section. And in a little bit, we're going to give out our number, because we want to take your calls also. And let me tell you, those people that call into the show wanting help with a behavior problem, they're going to take priority over anybody that's typing something in the comment section. But do us a favor, everybody. Smash that like button for us, okay? And also do us a favor, hit the share button. Share this to your Facebook page so that more people can benefit from what we do here at Pet Talk Today. As I mentioned, we specialize in the most difficult behavior problems: anxiety, fears, phobias, aggression. But we also help people with your everyday nuisance behaviors, whether it be jumping, barking, begging, stealing items, potty training is always a big one, right? Leash manners, things of that nature. So if you've got a question about your pet's behavior, you can call in. We're going to give out that number in a second, or you can type your questions in the comments section. But do us a favor in that comment section. Let us know where you're watching from. What city, what state are you in, or what country are you in? Let us know where you're watching and what kind of pets that you have. And again, smash that like button for us and share this so that more people can benefit from that. Well, Jordan, I've had a busy few weeks.
Since
the last show, I think I've gotten my certified CPR and first aid. I got that. Let's see if we can get you in here. We're having problems. There we go. Are we on now? You got both of us sitting there?
Let's see. Oh, I see myself. There we go. Okay. Now we're both here.
Trying to get the camera. You take a couple of weeks off and all of a sudden you forget all the technical things that you need to have. Yeah, but it's been a busy couple of weeks. I got my certification in pet CPR and first aid. Did my certification for a fear-free.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
Trainer, fear-free practitioner. Joined the professional pet guild.
There we go.
Okay. So just trying to do more networking with everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, next week, I know we took 2 weeks off. We're not going to have a show next week. Jordan, myself, we're going to be in Black Mountain, North Carolina, looking forward to the cool weather, but we're going to be attending an aggression conference.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of that's going to be dealing with behavioral medicine.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's something that we've talked about a lot on this show is behavioral medication. But there's always more to learn. Always.
Always more to learn. We might talk a little bit more about that a little bit later in the show. But again, smash that like button for us. Comment where you're watching from, what kind of pet you have. If you've got a question about your pet's training and behavior issues, go ahead and type that in the comment section. Jordan, do you want to go ahead and give out the number?
Absolutely.
So if you want to call, Jordan, please.
Absolutely. That number is 602-525-6880. Again, that is 602-525-6880. And that's also going to be in the comments.
Okay, so we're going to post that in the comments. Again, phone calls are going to take priority. If you'd like to get some help with your pet's training and behavior issues, the number to call is 602-525-6880. Again, 602-525-6880.
And look at that.
And we've got a call.
Hello, thanks for calling Pet Talk today. What's your question and location?
I am in Dothan, Alabama. I have a Yorkshire Terrier. He is just under a year old. And my daughter loves him. We all love him very much. But she wants to coddle him all day and not do what's needed to properly train him. I've had Yorkshire Terriers before and never had an issue with training them because I've allowed her to take control because she wanted him. Right. We're in a place now where he goes outside. He doesn't come back on command. He runs through the neighborhood and she's out waiting for him to decide he wants to come back home. He uses the bathroom. It's almost like he's marking his territory throughout the house. He goes out. He loves to be out to use the bathroom, but he will still come inside
right.
and go all through the house. He begs a lot. I have a two-year-old, and if he's sitting down at the table to eat, he's over. He's jumping on the table to get his food and things, and I do not want to get rid of him, but it's almost coming to that point because I don't know what to do now to correct these issues.
Let me ask you this. This is Will Bangora. Would it be just easier to rehome your child, your daughter?
Yes, the daughter. Yeah.
Would it be just easier to it might be easier to rehome her, right?
Absolutely.
All right. How old is your daughter, by the way? How old is your daughter?
She's 15. About to be 16.
Okay. 15 and 16-year-old girls are going through all kinds of hormonal changes. You know, they're interested in boys. And my experience is that, they don't want to take on a whole lot of responsibility.
I've come to notice that.
Yeah. not that this is a show about parenting children. Okay. But I believe the adults are the ones who need to take the responsibility for training. And once the dog is trained by you, then you can share those principles with your kids. You can supervise them as they are beginning to learn how to be handlers, not trainers. You're the trainer. The kids learn how to give commands and get the dog to respond under your supervision after you have trained the dog. Okay? After you've trained the dog.
I love that, and I have my daughter listening. Okay. So I've tried that approach.
Yeah,
she gets so upset with me, and I tell her because I've had these dogs before, I know what it takes. She gets so upset with me if I say something to him about
your daughter. Your daughter's not going to listen to you. I could say the same thing to your daughter that you're saying. She's going to listen to me and not you. You know, it's just, it is what it is. It's the way their brains are. You know, they can't help it. You know, when they're teenagers, you know, they pretty much have what's equivalent to brain damage. but you know, they're growing, they're developing. But here's the thing. Like I said, you need to be responsible for training the dog. Then your kids can be handlers. But things have to be consistent, okay? And one of the things is we've got to go back to potty training 101, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't assume that the dog knows where to go, what to do, and when it's doing something wrong, because if it truly did, it wouldn't be doing these things.
It wouldn't do it,
okay?
Exactly.
Right now, your dog thinks the house is a toilet.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that you need to do is you need to clean up and find all of the accidents. You're going to need a black light to do that. You're going to have to turn the lights off. You're going to have to go around and find where things light up. And then you're going to have to get a product that's got some good enzymes in it that actually break down the smell, not just for you and I as a human, but break down the smell. Yes, because, you know, they're... sense of smell is so much stronger than ours.
And if I may recommend, now again, this is this is the product that I personally like to use is called SCO 10X. That is SCOE10X. It's a fantastic product at breaking it down on that level. And then in addition to finding all of these spots where your dog went to the bathroom, I recommend that you go back and listen to our podcast. Most specifically, look for our podcast on pack leadership. And then additionally, go ahead and email us at info@pettalktoday.com and just put in the subject line pack leadership and we'll send
potty training.
You
put in potty training
potty
too.
Potty training and pack leadership and we'll send you some information.
We've got a 45-minute podcast that is very specific just to potty training. If you follow the guidelines, and anybody else that is looking for it, you can go to the Pet Talk Today podcast on any podcast hosting platform, whether that be Spotify, Audible, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Amazon. Look for Pet Talk Today and look for Season 1, Episode 16. Season 1, Episode 16 is our potty training episode. But you will... you got to start with that. Now, the other thing is your two-year-old is dropping food all over the place and the dog is cleaning it up like a vacuum cleaner. In the beginning, you thought that was a wonderful thing because it helped you to have to not clean up. But now the dog has learned, hey, this two-year-old is a massive source for really high-value food items. So the behavior is very functional to hang around your two-year-old. The behavior is very functional to snatch food because it's happened, and that is self-rewarding, okay? So one of the first things that you need to do is make sure that when anybody has food, you are there available to watch your dog to make sure your dog does not get it. Now, what you want to do when your dog even looks at any people food that it shouldn't have, you want to just say your dog's name. And when your dog looks at you, give it a little tiny piece of chicken, about, unless your dog's got a chicken allergy. We don't want to do that. But little tiny pieces about the size of a pea of cooked chicken, if your dog doesn't have a chicken allergy, you know, your dog looks at who it wants to beg from, what it wants to beg. Call your dog's name. Use a high-pitched tone. And then you'll be able to get your dog's focus and attention. Reward the dog with food. Keep interrupting that. Give your dog an alternative. Give your dog something it wants, which is food, okay? Give those things a shot. Try those things, okay? If you need more in-depth help with that, we do behavior consultations throughout the country, throughout the world. You can always reach us at phoenixdogtraining.com as well. Hey, appreciate the call. We love our listeners from Alabama. We love Southern hospitality. Hey, call us back. Call us back, would you, and let us know how things are going in a week or two.
I definitely will. Could you run that email by me one more time?
Sure.
It's info at
pettalktoday.com.
Got it.
All right. Very good. You. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right, you were going to say something, Jordan. I'm sorry.
Oh no. I was just saying turn down the line for the call.
Oh,
just
okay.
A little bit.
Volume
little.
Was high.
Yeah, the volume was a little high.
We'll bring that down for the next call.
Anyway, so it looks like we've had a lot of people calling in while
we can only take one call at a time. We apologize for that. We've got a line open now, right?
Yeah, the line is now open.
The line's
you can
open.
Now call
602-525-6880. Again, 602-525-6880. We can only
look
take
at that. There we go.
And we've got a caller.
Hello, thanks for calling Pet Talk Today. What's your name, question, and location?
Hello.
Hello,
there we go. Hey, caller, welcome. Can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, so I'm Ankita Joshi. I'm calling from Olive Branch, Mississippi.
All right.
And I'm calling regarding my pet, Jojo.
Okay.
He is an Australian Shepherd. and she's 2.5 years old.
Okay. What's going on with your dog?
Yeah, so actually we adopted her from a shelter, and she was a COVID dog, so she is not at all socialized. And now it's been like 2.5 years, so she actually barks at everyone apart from me. So it's really hard to socialize her. I tried with some of my friends, but that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons, I guess, if I want to go out of town or somewhere, no one is willing to take her.
Yeah.
So she is very difficult to handle. Yeah. And I was just looking to see if you guys can provide any guidance.
Absolutely.
Or tip, you know?
I'm going to let Jordan handle most of that, but I do have a question for you. How old was your dog when you first got your dog?
Yeah, she was one year.
1 year. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So about a year old.
I tried many trims, but didn't work out, you know.
and she's about 2.5 now, or you said it's been 2.5 years that you've had her?
No, she is 2.5 now.
2.5 now. Okay. And how old was she when you noticed this fear towards strangers?
So as soon as we got her, she was a little bit resistant at that time, but then she got used to me and my husband, but
okay.
That's it. And we both work from home.
Okay.
So we barely have anyone coming our house. So it was hard for us to socialize. We tried with our friends. We tried a doggy daycare.
Yeah.
But that didn't help us at all.
Yeah.
And now the problem is worse. You know, now she is so fearful and she barks at everyone. She barks at her vet, her rover pet care, everywhere. So it's going hard, you know.
At what point when somebody comes to the house, at what point does she start barking at them? Is it as soon as they come through the door, as soon as they pull up into the driveway? When does she start triggering?
Yeah, so she starts to trigger when she sees someone in the driveway or in the visible area. Like she looks by our door, like our front door. If she sees someone in front of our house, she'll start barking. You know, she also barks at the mailman. She barks whoever is passing. And we do have a ring doorbell, so it rings whenever someone is near home, and she'll just start barking, you know.
Yeah.
We tried calming medication, we tried to give her treat when she behaves, but when we are looking, she will not do that. But when we are at work, she will just go ahead and just start barking.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. When she has seen strangers, has she ever warmed up to a stranger?
No, she has not.
Okay.
So she actually warmed up a little bit to her rover pet care, like the guy from a rover.
And how long did that take?
It took almost like 4 or 5 days. We actually tried one-on-one for a couple of days, like just leaving her and then picking her up. And then we tried boarding overnight. That worked for her, but she was so too difficult, you know. And it's really hard to get someone... Who will deal with a difficult dog, you know? So he was also like, hey, I love dogs, but she's so difficult to handle.
Sure. You had mentioned that you had tried calming medication. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, so I do have that in front of me.
Was it a prescription or was it a supplement over the counter?
It was a supplement over the counter. It's called Justy Paw Calming Bite.
Okay.
Very familiar with Justy Paw.
So couple things. I'm going to have Jordan go through some of the behavior modification things that you can do to help this. But I also want to say this. You need to find yourself a veterinary behaviorist.
Yeah.
Okay. And you need to make an appointment with a veterinary behaviorist and bring your dog in to see a veterinary behaviorist as well. Okay. That's really important.
Yeah.
All right. In addition to training, we need to rule out that there isn't any kind of medical contributing factors. And we're not veterinarians, Jordan and I. We're not experts. We can't give out expert medical advice. But the experts to go to are the veterinary behaviorists. Okay. And you can go to the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists online. Do a Google search, American College for Veterinary Behaviorists. And then you can do a search and find out which one is closest to you. Jordan, what can,
Absolutely.
In the next couple minutes, can you tell her to help counter condition and desensitize this?
So the first thing that I want you to do is I want you to, find what is your dog's favorite high value food. Okay. So the way that you're going to do that is go out and get yourself, we're talking like actual cooked chicken, cooked beef, things like maybe a small baggie of diced ham, but ham ham, not so much because it's really high in sodium. Get, you know, various fruits and vegetables that are safe for dogs. Get different options. And then I want you to create piles of them. Give your dog little pieces of each one from each pile and then allow her to pick. The one that she chooses is going to be her favorite. All right. And then try that a few times to make sure that that is actually her favorite. And that's going to be her highest value food. And now the only time that she will be given this food reward is when you're doing what I'm about to explain to you, which is called counter conditioning and desensitization. So I want you to start keeping your dog on a short drag line. It doesn't have to be a 6-foot leash, doesn't have to be anything more than about 2 feet, something that you're able to grab and hold on to.
Drag line could be a piece of rope, right?
Exactly.
Or a short leash.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can go on Amazon and just type in patrol leash or traffic leash, tab line, things like that will pull up some results.
Or you can go to Home Depot and get 3 feet of rope.
Exactly. Now, you're going to keep this on your dog, and whenever you know that there's going to be a person coming to your house, whenever you know, the first thing that you're going to do is stand as far away from your front door as you possibly can, where you still have a direct line of sight of the front door. So it's super important that your dog still sees the front door. Then, as soon as the trigger turns on, whether that is somebody walking into the driveway, somebody coming up to the door, somebody knocking, whatever the trigger is, immediately you start feed high value food reward nonstop the entire time that the trigger is present. And then as soon as the trigger turns off, you stop feeding. Okay. And this is when you're just being reactive. Now, to be proactive, you need to get yourself friends, family members, things like that who are able to come over to your house, and you are able to have them walk up the driveway. And the moment they get into the driveway, you start feeding and then have them walk away and stop feeding. Then they come back into the driveway and you start feeding and then they walk away and you stop feeding. And you keep creating this pairing so that your dog goes from thinking, oh, somebody's in the driveway, this is scary, this is fearful, this is a bad thing, to, ooh, I want somebody to come up the driveway, I want somebody to come to the door, because it means really good food is being put in my mouth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, let me just say one other thing. When you're doing counter conditioning and desensitization, you've got to do what's called keep your dog under threshold.
Thank you for talking
Jordan
about
was
that,
talking Will. About distance, okay? There is a distance that every dog has with a trigger where the distance is far enough that the dog knows that the trigger's there, but they really don't have a care in the world. There is a distance. It might be a very large distance, okay? It could be a short distance. You've got to start this process at the distance away from the trigger. Your dog is far enough away from the trigger where your dog knows and sees the trigger, but doesn't have a care in the world. And again, the trigger all of a sudden appears. You feed constantly and continuously with this high-value food reward for about 3 to 5 seconds. Trigger goes away. As soon as the trigger goes away, feeding stops. Now remember, timing and sequence is important. Trigger appears, then feeding. Trigger goes away, then stop feeding, okay? Keep your dog under threshold. Now, once you've been doing this a while, your dog, when it understands the game and loves this game, will see the trigger and then immediately look to you for food. When your dog is doing that consistently for several days or several training sessions, and a training session is going to be about 15 minutes long, 5, 10, 15 minutes max, you're going to do this at least minimum 3 to 5 times a week, okay? Now, again, after your dog is loving this game for a few training sessions, looking up at you every time it sees the trigger, looking to you for that high-value food reward, you probably now can inch a little bit closer, close that gap, that distance, just a little bit between the trigger and your dog, and start that process all over again. However, as you shrink that distance, as that distance gets shorter between your dog and the trigger, if your dog starts to show any kind of care or concern when you're doing this, you have gone too close too soon. You can only work at the dog's pace. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, this is girl Ankita. When I was listening, your advice, and I really appreciate it as well. So yeah, we'll get working on this right away, and appreciate all the help you're providing. So
absolutely,
yeah. Hey, of course.
Do us a favor, smash that like button, share this
share button,
share it so more people can benefit from us. And hey, we absolutely, we mean this. We want you to call back. We want you to practice this for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Practice this. Give us feedback. Call us back one Saturday during a show. Let us absolutely know how things are going. Even if they're not going well, we'll help you. Okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sounds good. No, thank you so much. We just one last quick question. Just to follow up on the advice. So you said that we need to buy a leash. So should we keep her on leash when we are feeding her the her favorite food? Or?
Yeah, you probably, as long as you can supervise your dog and your dog's in your eyesight, keep that leash on. Anytime you can't supervise, the dog's not in your eyesight, take the leash off. Keep that process going until this problem's resolved.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sounds good. One last question, and I guess I would be good. Do you think, like, at this stage, she's like 2.5 years old, should we send her to, we saw many boot camps, many training.
No, the problem is occurring at your home, and there's not a boot camp that's long enough that you can afford that is going to be able to help your dog. Plus, your dog going to boot camp is going to be completely overwhelmed. It's going to be flooded, and there's going to be massive amounts of anxiety. Chances are your dog could come back worse. If you're going to have training, private lessons in home, at your home, with not just a dog trainer, but a behavior consultant, a certified behavior consultant.
Unknown caller.
Anyway, try that. Give that a shot. We appreciate your call. Do we have another caller?
That was the same one. They got disconnected.
Unknown caller.
There we go. There we go. Let's see.
Are we taking a call or what?
Yep,
are we
that we are.
Okay.
Oh. Hey, thanks for calling Pet Talk today. State your name, question, and location.
My name is Carla, and I'm calling from Illinois.
Hello, Carla. You're a neighbor. I'm originally from Wisconsin.
Awesome. Not too far.
Yeah. Where in Illinois are you?
Georgetown.
Georgetown. Fantastic. So what's going on? What kind of question do you have for us? What kind of issues are you dealing with?
Okay. We have a rescue that we adopted about 6-7 weeks ago.
Okay.
He's been abused, apparently. By a man, because he loves me to death. He follows me everywhere. But when I leave and my husband's home, he howls and carries on and barks and paces. When we're both home, he's great. He follows me everywhere. He can take him out and walk him in the yard, but as long as I'm around, but he keeps watching me. Now, he has started some anxiety medicine from the vet, and it has somewhat helped, but he still howls and he's not trusting of my husband. So, suggestions, please.
So, quick question. What kind of medication did the vet put your dog on?
He is on, it's sitting right here, and I'll tell you. She just gave me trazodone that we only use once.
Okay.
But he's been taking basically doggy Prozac.
What do you mean, basically doggy Prozac?
Fluoxetine.
Okay, so he's taking the fluoxetine
so
as well.
He's on Prozac. Okay, perfect.
Right.
Okay.
Daily.
So how long has your dog been on the Prozac?
3.5 weeks, maybe.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you noticed any change?
Somewhat, yes. He was still howling a lot, and that's why she gave us the other one to supplement when we thought he needed it.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things
he also will pee and poop when I leave.
Yeah, elimination disorders and the Prozac helps with that as well. And there's separation anxiety going on there.
Exactly.
First of all, it's going to take a little while. I know they normally say 4 weeks, but it really takes 6 to 8 weeks before Prozac fluoxetine builds up to the appropriate levels. Now, let me say this: I am not a veterinarian.
Yeah.
I am not giving out medical advice. I am not an expert in veterinary medicine. Okay.
Okay.
I do have many semesters of formal education in pharmacology, and I have a lot of continuing education in psychopharmacology. My undergraduate degree I did a minor in neurochemistry.
You know, so, I feel like this wasn't even intentional. Isn't that a book on psychopharmacology?
It's actually Successful Psychopharmacology, Evidence-Based Treatment Solutions for Achieving Remission. So, you know, I know a lot about these medications, and regular veterinarians may or may not know that much about it, but you got to go to them, okay, to get a prescription for the medication.
Right.
Now, you know, after your dog's been on this for maybe 6 to 8 weeks, you might want to evaluate the effectiveness of the medication. You know, sometimes the vets need to adjust the dosages. Okay. It's, you know, playing around right. with dosages sometimes. So, you know, there might be something more that can be done with medication. However, medication's never the cure. It is something that you should always use as an adjunct to behavior modification.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna let Jordan talk about that part.
Absolutely, absolutely. So when you have dogs that are, you know, displaying these symptoms of separation anxiety, as well as, correct me if I'm wrong, you said that was also fearful of your husband?
Right.
Okay.
And elimination.
And yeah, and we issues. Have elimination disorder. So
and that part is getting somewhat better.
So talk to me.
But we keep a pee-pad.
Talk to me about what happens when you're gone.
When I'm gone and Alan is still here, he's howling, he's barking, he's going back from front window to back window and back and forth. Now, I will say in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, that has calmed some. Okay. He'll bark some and howl a little bit, but then he quiets down.
Yeah,
so that has improved.
Okay, so a few things that I want you to do. If you were listening to during our last caller, when we were talking about counter conditioning and desensitization, I want you to take those exact same principles of where we were talking about counter conditioning and desensitization, but apply it to your husband as if your husband was a trigger. Okay, so as soon as your husband comes into sight, feed, have him walk away, stop feeding.
Now, you're feeding, not your husband.
Exactly.
You are doing the feeding.
Exactly. Okay, so I want you to apply the exact same principles there. But next, let's talk about...
Wait, can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
If, when you're doing this, your dog has concern about your husband, you're too close. You need to create more distance because, again, we can't be feeding the dogs in counter conditioning if their emotional state even has a little bit of concern. Now, some other trainers may argue that. I'm a firm believer that whatever we're conditioning, what the emotional state is, that's what's being conditioned. And
absolutely.
I do not want to condition a state of anxiety. So, again, create enough distance between your husband, Alan, believe that you said, and the dog,
right.
okay, so that your dog doesn't have a care in the world
right.
and apply those principles. And little by little, I mean very gradually, slowly, systematically, you can get a little closer.
So what we've been doing, when he walks him out in the yard, you know, like I said, I'm usually there, and he walks him on the leash. We always have hot dogs in our pocket.
Yeah, so,
and
so
when he does his
thing,
he gets a hot dog, and he'll take it from him.
Yeah, and
most
so here's
of the
thing.
Time.
That's the thing. So if your dog is fearful of your husband, him being on leash is very likely over threshold. That is, him being that close to him and being attached to him and effectively removing flight as even an option, that is probably over threshold. The way that what we're saying to do is your husband would be on the opposite side of the room, so far away from your dog that he wouldn't even care about your husband's presence. And that's where you're starting.
And when we're not doing formal training, we're doing everything in our power to arrange the environment so that your husband stays far enough away from the dog that the dog doesn't experience anxiety. Because one of the problems, and I realize this is a challenge, when we get these rescue dogs and we have these issues, they can be very challenging.
Absolutely.
If they continue to rehearse this behavior, if they continue to be in this emotional state around Alan, it's going to be really hard to really make good progress.
Right.
And so one of the challenges is keeping the dog below threshold, keeping the dog far enough away from the thing it's afraid of where the dog doesn't have a care in the world. And see, this sometimes can be, like I said, very challenging. That's why I often say sometimes it's just easier to rehome the husband or rehome the kids.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Now,
well, let me ask you this. When I go to work, Uh-huh. And he's home with him. Now, the dog will occasionally walk up, lick his foot, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And when he comes in, he always comes and checks him out. Should he just ignore him or...
Yes.
What?
Yes, ignore him and don't come into the dog's space because now, the dog's going to view that as threatening.
Now, here's the thing, though. But if the dog comes into his space willingly, then what I want you your husband needs to make sure that in that instance, reward that behavior.
However,
give him a high value
treat
like
what
that
I would tell your what I would tell your husband to do would be to just drop the food on the floor. Don't reach its reach his hand towards the dog because your dog might find that threatening. But again, as Jordan said, and I'm glad he said this, if your dog approaches Alan, Alan should have high value food rewards on him at all times. And then as the dog approaches, just drop a few treats, but still ignore the dog.
Exactly.
You know, just don't have any emotion. Don't make movements. You know, again, we've got to make Alan, you know, as least threatening as possible. Not that he's a real threat.
Exactly.
But your dog views him as a threat.
Exactly. And then additionally, what I want you to do is I want you to start working on teaching your dog a nice place command. Okay. If you're not certain how to do that, if you look on YouTube and can't really find anything, you can also email us and just put in the heading.
I'm going to start sending these emails to you since you tell everybody to email and I'm sitting here, you know, for a weekend emailing people.
Email us at info@pettalktoday.com and just put in the subject place training and we can send you
can
a couple
send you
videos
on that as well.
Okay. He really doesn't play. I just recently at the vet got a little thing that it's like a toy, but you fill it with like squeeze teeth.
Yeah,
sure.
So we're working on that, and he does eat the teeth out of it, but he really didn't play with it.
Right.
Let me mention
it to his bed.
And let me mention this to you: if you're doing 2 months worth of very intense counter conditioning and desensitization, and you're making very little progress, you probably then need to go see a veterinary behaviorist because maybe there needs to be a change in the medication.
Exactly.
Some of the things that you're telling me about your dog. And again, I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not giving out medical advice. Prozac would not have been my choice.
Right.
With my formal training in psychopharmacology.
I agree.
That would not have been my choice. Okay.
Now, once you've taught your dog place, I want you to start using that very often, about an hour a day. Put your dog on place. Just start teaching your dog to relax and lay there and just be calm. Start teaching your dog that being calm and relaxed and staying on this cot is valuable, that being in a calmed state, because based on what I'm hearing, I do believe that we're probably looking at norepinephrine as a contributing factor here. And again, I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not giving out medical advice. I'm just telling you what I know from my experience and my knowledge
education. We also have a dopamine issue.
Yeah.
The dog is withdrawn.
Yeah.
And the dog, you know, has that fear.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the fact that dog doesn't really play. Okay. So that, when you understand the neurotransmitters in the brain, we start taking a look at these behaviors and we start saying, okay, what neurotransmitters are being affected?
Exactly.
And serotonin, dopamine, you mentioned norepinephrine. Depends. You know, if the dog's really explosive, then maybe we're dealing with a little bit of that.
Okay. So, well, most of the time, like right now, the dog is as out on the couch and spread out as he could be.
Good.
When he's not outside, that's what he does. The couch or his bed.
Well, when he's doing that, when he's being relaxed, being calm, and just being happy, reward that behavior.
The other thing, the first 3 to 4 weeks on Prozac, it's not uncommon for dogs to have some lethargy.
Yeah.
And as they are on the medication longer, if they did experience some lethargy, that will dissipate some. Yeah. Sometimes they are left with a little bit of lethargy.
Exactly. I want you to try those things and then give us a call back. Let us know how things are going. Please keep us updated. All right.
And please.
All right. Thank you.
Smash that like button and share this on your Facebook page. We really appreciate your support and your listening to us. I'm Will Bangura.
And I'm Jordan Marsteller.
And you are watching and listening to Pet Talk Today. We're here each and every Saturday morning where we take questions, we answer your pet behavior and training issues. If you've got a question about your pet's behavior, you can give us a call. That number is 602-525-6880. Again, it's 602-525-6880.
All right. Thanks for calling. You're listening to Pet Talk Today. What's your name?
My name is Kimberly.
Hello, Kimberly. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maryland.
Maryland. All right, Maryland. So what's your question? How can we help you? I know that you've been calling in for a while.
Yes, I have. So I have a couple of questions. One was what you guys were just talking about, that my dog, is, whenever we go out for walks, he goes, I think he's scared of other people and dogs when they pass by.
Mm-hmm.
So he immediately starts barking and going for them. So I kind of have an understanding on what to do with that part. Is the same thing doing it inside than doing it outside?
Yeah, it sure is. You got to make sure you're at a good enough distance that your dog is below threshold so that he has not a care in the world about the trigger. And that's where you're going to start.
I always say there's two thresholds. One threshold is where the dog displays the outward behavior.
Right.
That's easy to see where the dog's over threshold. But the one that's more difficult is to assess the internal emotional state of the animal. And my contention is this, if they've got even the slightest care in the world, you're working too close too soon. Too close too soon.
So what's your other question?
My other question is, he's a one-year-old Labradoodle.
Okay.
Smaller Labradoodle. Whenever he plays with other dogs, he tackles them. And, you know, some dogs don't care. But I'm afraid he's going to come to a dog that does care and is going to,
So a few things here. With a dog like this that is, you know, that has inappropriate playing behaviors, the first thing that you need to do is I want you to allow him to play with other dogs, but in such a, it's controlled. Have your dog on leash, right? And the moment that he starts getting rough and he starts, pun intended, the moment that he starts playing rough and he starts getting too animated, too excited, too energetic for these other
dogs.
Get
his attention.
You get his attention and you turn him around, reset him. Immediately, as soon as that happens, just a quick little, like a little 5 foot circle, just reset them.
One of the things I would recommend as you're playing with other dogs would be before your dog gets excited. And again, as Jordan said, have them on leash. And I prefer a long leash.
Yeah.
I would start doing recall exercises with the highest value food rewards possible. Now, if your dog won't come back to you when called, you need to create more distance between you and the other dogs. But hey, anytime your dog's playing with other dogs, you should know, you should want to have a recall that's strong enough that you can get the dog away. And you have to first start working that recall where there are no distractions, rewarding with high value food rewards. Then you start with very small distractions at a distance, and little by little, you get closer to the distractions. Little by little, the distractions get more intense.
Exactly.
If at any point during that training, your dog just can't do it, again, you've gone too close, too soon, the dog is over threshold.
Yeah, and then make sure that you build a good marker with your dog. Like I recommend a clicker personally. And when your dog is playing with these other dogs and is not being excited, not being overly energetic, not being overly rough, and he is acting the way that you want him to when he's doing the desired behavior, click, and then give him a treat.
We tend to always look at the behavior we don't want, and we don't think about what would I have the dog do instead? What behavior would I prefer? And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I just want my dog to be calm. Are you reinforcing that when your dog is calm?
We're so good at telling people telling no, wrong, bad.
Yeah.
But we forget to say yes, good job.
Hey, that's what I'm looking for. Exactly. Fantastic super dog.
Does that make sense, Kimberly?
Yeah, it does. I have to learn how to use the clicker. Having looked into that, that it does make sense.
You know, you can get online, you can go to do a Google search for Karen Pryor, who's probably the biggest name in clicker training, the most well-known clicker training. You can get go on YouTube, you can watch some videos on clicker training. Clicker is a marker. It's powerful. We don't have time to get into it in this show. That could be an entire show. But yeah, give that a shot. Try those things. The last thing I want to say is even the most stable dogs, there's going to be roughly between 10 and 20% of other dogs that they're not going to like.
Yeah.
That they're not going to like. You know, I don't like everybody I meet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And neither does my dog. And you know what? That's okay. My dog does not have to be around every dog that's out there. Matter of fact, I'm very picky. I'm very picky.
Yeah.
I have just a few dogs with a few friends. I know my friends. I know their dogs really well. I know they're really stable and I know their energy, and that's who I have my dogs around, if I have my dogs around.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, I'm the center of my dog's universe. My dogs don't ask for anything but me. They don't ask to go to the dog park. They've never asked me to go to doggy daycare. Hell, they don't even ask me to go for a walk.
Yeah.
Okay. And how about when, sometimes my husband is playing in the house and they're running around. He thinks, you know, he needs to go play too. And he goes and kind of bites their leg or goes for their ankle, but playing.
Right.
I don't let my dogs have excitable play in the house.
Yeah, absolutely not.
And I only let that happen outside. And if my dog were biting at my ankles, my legs, I would start by going, yip, make a high-pitched yip sound. That'll surprise them. That's what happened when they were in the litter with other puppies where they were learning bite inhibition. And that could potentially work. The other thing is, giving your dog something else more fun to do, throwing a ball around, playing toys,
absolutely.
You know,
that's of things that will
and work. Then ask yourself, hey, when the dog's biting at the ankles, the pants and stuff, is your husband running around, right? Sometimes movement's going to create
that's what she was saying. She was saying that her husband is doing the running and playing with them.
Yeah.
I think what you need to do is when you go ahead and look up some place training videos and then just apply those principles on your husband, teach him to place and stay, you know, so that he's not running around and bothering the dogs. Yeah. I think that's the solution there.
He can find his own running partner.
Yeah. All right, Kimberly.
All right.
Thanks for calling
in.
And thank you. Thank you. Let us know how it works.
All right. Let's see. We've got about 10, 11, 12 minutes left.
I think at this point what we should do is close the phone line, and I have plenty of questions.
All right. We're going to close the phone line. We've had lots of calls. Hey, thank you for calling in. These were fantastic questions. We're going to go ahead and start answering questions that many of you have typed into the comments section. But
Absolutely.
Do us a favor. Hit that smash button. Hit that like button. Also, share this on your Facebook page so that other people can benefit from this great information. Okay, what kind of questions do we have?
All right, so we have a question from Francis, and Francis has a 3-year-old pug, and for the most part, she's good, but when we go for walks, she wants to attack every big dog she sees. What can I do for her to stop these? Well, Francis, the first thing I'm going to say is what I say whenever we have any type of problem like this is get yourself a behavior consultant to really dig deeper into that and make sure that this isn't something that needs to be recommended to a veterinary behaviorist or at least a veterinarian for the potential addition of medications or anything like that that might be medically related to why your dog is behaving this way. Now, outside of that, like we've been talking with a lot of people, with two of our callers, actually.
You're going to find we've got a common theme for a lot of these problems. It's a counter conditioning and desensitization exercise. I shouldn't say exercise. Exercises over and over and over and over. This is not a quick fix.
Absolutely.
There is no such thing as a quick fix when we're talking about really impacting a dog's emotional state.
Absolutely. Okay. And so now, the first step, you got to teach your dog how to walk loosely on leash. What that means is with no distractions. So you go outside to practice loose leash walking, and next thing you know, somebody comes out with their dog. You get inside immediately. You stop that training session and you go back inside. You've got to start by teaching your dog how to do it without anything present to distract it.
Yeah, because if your dog can't pay attention to you when there's no distractions, it's certainly not going to happen when it sees another dog or
Absolutely.
There's a distraction.
Absolutely. And so that's where you're going to start. Once you have a dog that can walk loosely on the leash, that's when you're going to start applying the principles of counter conditioning and desensitization. And you have to start at a big distance. Some dogs that may be 50 feet, some dogs that may be 20, some dogs that may be 200 feet, some dogs that may be further than that. Some dogs you have to start with a stuffed dog instead of a real dog. You know, there's lots of things that you have to look at to get your dog to the point that they don't have a care in the world when they see these other dogs. And that's where you start the counter conditioning. Let's see. We've got another question, how to potty train my 8-week-old Yorkie poo.
All right, listen, we're going to, because I want to get to more questions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, direct you to go straight to our 45-minute podcast on potty training. It is in-depth. Even the most difficult dog to potty train, you can have success with if you follow those guidelines. Go to the Pet Talk Today podcast. Just do a Google search, Pet Talk Today with Will Bangura. Podcast will come up. You're going to look for Season 1, Episode 16. Season 1, Episode 16, How to Potty Train Your
Dog. Absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
Next. What else do we have?
All right, so we've got, it looks like people are saying that they have the same issue with fear of people, but on walks, same thing. It's just first step, teach your dog how to walk on leash. Once your dog,
and you can start that in the house.
Exactly.
Okay. And hey, I watched Libby do something with a ladle, which I thought was fantastic. She had a ladle with food and had that down on her left side, and the dog was following her, taking food out of that ladle. Great way to start helping your dog to learn how to follow you and make it a positive experience. Yeah.
So it looks like Kelly says that her daughter moved in with her Yorkie. He hates the lab that already lived in the home. The lab ignores him until he keeps biting his lip and barking. How do we go about solving this? So first things first, I would start teaching both dogs how to place. The reason why is I want to build place as a safe space for the lab. I want to start teaching this lab that this space, this place cot, is a safe area that nothing's going to bother him. But then we have to teach the Yorkie, do not go on that place cot. Leave that place cot alone. All right. Every time that you catch the Yorkie even thinking about stepping on that cot that belongs to the lab, you redirect, put him somewhere else, reward. Okay. Now we're going to start teaching the Yorkie how to go to place. And you're going to have to teach him how to do that from a distance as well. And then you start teaching him to get onto that place cot with minimal distractions, and then heavier distractions, then heavier distractions. And then you add in the lab. And we start teaching the Yorkie, whenever he's messing with the lab, we recall the Yorkie away from that lab, send to the place cot, give lots and lots of food reward. All right. As soon as they get to that place cot, we're going to start teaching the Yorkie through differential reinforcement to do a different task.
And getting on place and staying on place would be incompatible with harassing your lab. See how we ask ourselves not only what do we want the dog not to do? What do we want the dog to do instead? Hang out.
Exactly.
Be calm. Be cool. Stay somewhere. Don't worry about what's going on. But listen, when you're training your dog, you've got to be more exciting. You've got to create more happiness with this event of training than anything that your Yorkie thinks is fun with the lab. Otherwise, you know, the lab's more interesting, more fun. Yeah, the Yorkie's going to go to the lab.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a question. How do I stop my puppy from biting me instead of his toys? Well, the first thing that I want you to do.
How old is the puppy? Yeah. We don't know, right? Yeah. If your puppy's not over 7 months of age, it's going to be chewing on everything, biting on everything it can. Its teeth are hurting.
Yeah. Your job is to watch this puppy. And every single time that you catch the dog biting or chewing on something that it's not supposed to, give it something it's supposed to and allow to
interrupt, get its attention. Yeah. Okay.
Every single time.
And start teaching a drop command.
Absolutely.
You want to go through that briefly? Because I know a bunch of you need your dog to learn how to drop it.
Absolutely.
Not just one, a bunch of you. So listen up.
So for drop it, this is really, really simple. You're going to find your dog's favorite high value food reward, like we discussed earlier in this video. And once you have that nice high value food reward, you're going to pick a word for drop. I like the word drop it. Go figure, right? That's the cue that I use. You're going to say drop it, then reach into your treat pouch, grab 3 or 4 pieces of food, and just drop it on the ground. Your goal is for your dog to not see you reach into your pouch, but if they do, that's okay. So again, you say drop, grab 3 or 4 pieces, throw it on the ground. As soon as they finish eating those 3 or 4 pieces, you immediately say drop it and reach into the pouch, grab three or four more pieces, throw it on the ground. And then again, you repeat this process. As soon as they finish that last piece, you're going to say drop it and throw more food on the ground. Repeat this approximately 30 times in a row. Once or twice a day for about 2 or 3 days. And then you're going to do it about 3-ish to 5 times per week for about 2 weeks. And then after that, that will be the very first time that you actually apply it to a real life situation. So now your dog has something in its mouth that it is allowed to have. Okay, this is very important. It has to be something that your dog is allowed to have. Then when they have that in their mouth, you're going to say, drop it. And guess what? They have to spit out that item in order to get the food that you're about to throw on the ground. And you're going to throw 3 or 4 pieces of food on the ground. Now, here's the most important part. As soon as they finish that food, you let them go back and take that item back. And you're going to do that. And you're going to practice that with items that they're allowed to have. Where you say, drop it. They spit out the item. Food is on the ground. And then they get to go back to the item. Because now they don't think, oh my gosh, they say, drop it. And they're going to take away this item from me. And then they have to make a decision. Is the reward worth losing this item? If they don't even have to think about that, they're going to spit out that item without thinking. And then when they have something in their mouth that they're not supposed to have, you say, drop it. And guess what they're going to do? They're just going to spit it out because they're ready for that food to hit the ground. And now you're able to take that item. All right. But it's so important that you're teaching them that after drop it, they get items back. We want them to think that they're not going to lose the item every single time they hear the word drop it.
The other thing, I know many of you are doing this inadvertently. Your dog gets something in its mouth that you don't want it to have, and you tell the dog to come to you. You know, Bobo, come, Bobo, come. And then you take that object away from the dog. And the dog starts learning that, man, every time my pet parent asks me to come and I do come, bad things happen. I lose something I really
Absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely.
And what's going to happen before long is your dog's going to associate, hey, cool things don't happen when I come. Therefore, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
And that's called poisoning the cue.
Absolutely.
It is. Be sure that you don't do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got about 4 minutes.
Absolutely. All right, let's see. Let's see. Ah, okay. That's a Cindy, that is a very to answer your question lightly, this is something that you need to get in contact with a behavior consultant. I just want to address that. You need to contact a behavior consultant, Cindy. Robin wants to know.
Well, let's let her know where she can do that. So if you go to ccpdt.org, that's Charlie, Paul, Dog, Tango.org, and do a search for behavior consultant.
Absolutely.
Not a trainer.
Absolutely. Now, Robin says, how do I teach my dog to sit and stay on command? He's a 3-month-old Merle Pitbull. Okay. So, Robin.
Since we've got like 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to be
capturing.
Really,
let's just talk about capturing.
Yeah. All right. So basically what you're going to do is every time that your dog sits, capture that behavior, build a marker word into your dog. And every time that their butt hits the ground
on their own, they offer that behavior. Yeah. I know that your dog sits many, many times. I'll bet you if you had a treat in your hand and you backed up 4 steps, your dog would move towards you and sit.
Absolutely.
And I'll bet if you backed up 3 or 4 more steps, your dog would get to you and your dog would sit if you had a treat in your hand. And guess what? Every time your dog's rear end goes down, you can do what, Jordan?
You can label that behavior, sit, and then mark and reward with a high value treat. If you do this every single time that your dog's butt hits the ground, he or she will start to learn that there's value in putting their butt on the ground.
Now, a lot of people, they just want to do this and they don't want to give food. Folks, you better have a good paycheck for your dog.
Yeah.
Or if you expect them to work.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. And if you don't get that, do me a favor. Keep going to your job without a paycheck. Tell me how long that is going to last.
Exactly.
Where's your motivation?
Exactly. Exactly.
We've got 2 minutes.
All right. So with 2 minutes left, I guess it's a good time for us to remind everybody that this is a labor of love.
Yes, it is.
We do this for the people that can't afford to purchase professional training. So please like, share, comment, write us an email, shoot us a message. And please, if you have ideas for more shows or different types of shows or maybe different times, things like that, different formats, things like that, please shoot them our way. We are in complete control of this channel and we're always looking for ways to improve it for y'all. Please, please, please give us a call, shoot us a text, give us an email, write us a message, and like and share. Because we are doing this for y'all. Thank y'all for listening today.
Absolutely. Hey, want to thank everybody who joined us today. Thank you for calling in with your great questions. Thank I thank everybody that typed in a question. I know we couldn't get to everybody's question, but you know what? Keep coming back. Keep watching the show. Keep coming back to Pet Talk Today. Like I said, we are here each and every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific time, also Mountain Standard Time, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 to 12 Central Time. Next week, we are not going to have Pet Talk Today. Next week, Jordan and myself, we're going to be in Black Mountain, North Carolina, dealing with the aggression conference there. Well, that means we are out of time officially. You've been listening to Pet Talk Today. I'm Will Bangura.
And I'm Jordan Marsteller.
And we are here to answer all of your pet behavior and training questions each and every Saturday morning. Do us a favor, smash that like button, share this to your home screen. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. That's all, folks. We are out of here.